Pasuk says, Eile told us Noach, Noach ish tzadik, Tomim hoya b'day reisav. Rashi says, b'day reisav, Yesh miraviseinu dershnais leshvach, there are those that darshan to praise Noach. Kol shekein, if it would have been in the der of tzadikim, he would have been a bigger tzadik. V'yesh dershim oitzadignai, and some darshan it in a degrading way for him. Lefi Rav Rom, he wouldn't have counted for anything. Shut. Everybody agrees. Everybody agrees. The way Noach was today, if he would have gone like that into Tzadikim, he wouldn't. It's all a question of which one you look at. If he was today the way he was, so it's just a question of perspective. Look at it. Is the glass half full? Is the glass half empty? This should add to the beautiful day over here. Since everybody over here say Bedwig, Rashi says, Yesh me Rabbi Seinu Dorishim Oitzel Shvach. There's Rabbi Seinu that say the Shvach. Then it says, V'yesh, doesn't say Rabbi Seinu. V'yesh Shadoshim Lignai. Doesn't call them Rabbi Seinu. The Rabbi Seinu, they look at it the good way. They look from the right perspective. He was a tzaddik. Since it's the same pshat the other way, it doesn't say Rabbi Seinu there. V'yesh Shadoshim Lignai. So somebody in my shir asked me, so why does Rashi bring it at all? If it means the same pshat, and is the Seinu was saying the good way, why should we look at it in the bad way? The pshat is because there's a very important lesson to learn from the other world. And that lesson is, had Noach pulled down and able to be this of Yesh Dorishim Leshvach, Yesh Dorishim Lignai, the Ksav Sefer carries it through to another pasuk. Vayas Noach, Noach did kekoil asher tzivo Hashem, everything Hashem commanded him. The pasuk is the pasuk Katzenstein is very strange. Vayas Noach kekoil, should say Vayas Noach. So the Ksav Sefer learns the pasuk two ways. You can darshan it l'shvach, you can darshan it l'gnai. So he says, Noach kept sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. He kept all those mitzvahs. He was the first one to keep them, even though the mitzvahs b'nei Noach, he knew about them. He kept the mitzvahs. And now he's got an extra mitzvah, number 8. He gets a tzivui from Hashem. What's he told? Build a teva. Imagine if you were lying in bed one morning, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and tells you, I want you this afternoon, when you put on tefillin by mincha that day, how would you feel about it? So, wow. Rabbeinu Shlom told me himself, you feel such excitement when you put it on. You feel a special love when you did that mitzvah. It's not like a tefillin every day. When you're half asleep, you put them on. That would be like a wonderful, special feeling. The truth is, every time you're doing it, you mekayim the tzivui Hashem. But when you're told directly from the Rabbeinu Shlom, it should affect you. And Noach was told now by the Rabbeinu Shlom, a special tzivui to him and him alone. Noach, do me a favor, build a teva. When he did that, when he built that teva, how did he build it? They asked Noach, how did he do it? Like all the other commandments of Hashem, he did it. The same way exactly. Another mitzvah. He didn't feel anything special about it. So that's Yesh Doshim Lignai. Yesh, understand it differently. Noach was told to build a teva. And we see many times, it says the word Vayas Kain, he did so. Like by Aaron is one place you see it. And Rashi tells us, Meshbech Aaron Shlei Shina, he did exactly what he had to do. It's a praise for Vayas Kain. Noach was told to build a teva. Chazal tell us, Harbe Shluchim Lemokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have saved him a million ways. He didn't have to make him build a teva for 120 years. Why did he make him build a teva? No, why? He could have saved him any other way, yeah? No, why? Oh, to give the people time to tshuva. They should see him building the teva to warn the people. So therefore, he was told to build a teva not for his personal safety, but for the sake of his dayar. So when he builds this teva now, why is he building this teva? Is he building the teva to save himself? Or is he building it to help others? He's building it for one reason. He has nothing to gain from it. Vayas Noach. He does this mitzvah like all other mitzvahs. He's not doing it for a personal agenda. He's doing it k'kol asher tziv Hashem. Just like the other mitzvahs are l'man Hashem, this mitzvah is also doing it for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked him to do it, there's a mitzvah involved, he's doing it. Not for personal gain, personal benefit. Reb Moshe says a diuk, very similar to this. Reb Moshe, Sefer Dorash Moshe says, it's very interesting, we begin the parasha, people don't notice this. Noach is told, build a teva. He isn't told there's going to be a mabul. And after that is told to be a mabul. Wouldn't it make more sense, first tell him there's going to be a mabul, and by the way, Noach, build a teva. Now, your point of building a teva is not for the mabul, not to save you. You do it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so. You have a mitzvah to build a teva. And afterwards, grada, there's going to be a mabul. There's another posik which we can understand. Yesh dorish l'shvach, yesh dorish l'gnai. It says that he was told to make a chaloyin l'teva. And Rashi brings two pshatim. Either it means an actual window, or it means an even teva. Hame'ira lahem. A precious stone which has light to it, which would light up the teva. What's the machloikas between the two pshatim? The machloikas is l'shvach and l'gnai. Somebody who is a tzaddik gomor, not only does he get saved, he is permitted to see the destruction and downfall of his enemies. Somebody who is a less of a madrega, he might be on a madrega that Kusprok will save him, but he's not going to be able to see the downfall of his enemies, because he's not much better than them. And that's why Lot's wife was punished. She looked around. She wasn't on the madrega to deserve to see the destruction of Sodom. So Noach is told to put a window. One mandam says it means a window mamish. He could look out. He could see them drowning. He could see their suffering. He was the madrega to see the downfall of Rishoyim. The other pshat is an even teva. He's not allowed to look out the window. He has a light for him, but he cannot see their destruction. He's not in the madrega, the yesh dorish l'gnai. Okay, we mentioned the hashpah of Noach's doir. They affected him. He wasn't able to reach his potential. Hashpah, influence, can be used l'toiva and chas v'shom l'ra. There's a famous Beis Halevi, which I'd like to share with you, and then add to it an extra little piece. The Beis Halevi quotes a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Darshan's a pasuk. V'hine nishrosa ki hishchis kol bosaris darkoi. All flesh corrupted. And the Gemara says, all flesh means even animals. Behema al chaya, chal behema, odom al kulam. There was corruption all around, Mr. Bernstein. Not only was man corrupt, animals also became corrupt. A few lines later, the Gemara says, "Vayimach kolayikum." HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed everything, and the Gemara says, "Adam chata, behema machata." Adam sinned. What chet did behema do? We just said a few lines earlier that behema was also doing averas. Stira. The Marashah asked the Stira, Davkuf Ches and Sanhedrin. And the Marashah says, you would have to say it's different Manda Omrim, but that's difficult to say. It's a few lines apart. It seems it's the same person saying it. So Avi explains, when a person does, it spreads influence. It brings evil into the world. That evil spreads around so much and affects everything around him. It affects It affects animals. It affects everything. The animals on their own never would have sinned. The Gemara asks, Adam chata, behima ma chata. They wouldn't have done a sin on their own. But since there's so much corruption, sin in the world, that sin of man had effect on animals, and the animals started also acting in ways they shouldn't have been because of that evil that was in the world. It goes so far, not just the animals. The land itself becomes corrupt. The land itself... A stone from the wall will call out. And they'll give edus on everything that that person sat in front of the computer and saw. Give edus. That even inanimate objects get affected. What does it mean they'll give edus? Because that corruption will be in the walls. Walls get affected. Land gets affected. Animals gets affected. Evil spreads everywhere. What's the pshat in it? How is that? So the Aryeh Gedal Yohu, he explains this concept, how it actually works. He doesn't mention the Beis Halevi, but he says the same idea and explains it a little clearer to understand how it works. He says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Nase Odom, let us make man, who was he talking to? He said he was talking to the whole Bria. Adam was the last creation. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells every chelik of the Bria, let us make man. Every one of you, get involved and give a portion of yourselves to create man. Man has every chelik of the Bria in him. In Sfarim it uses a lashon, a person is an oilam cotton, is a small world. A person has in him a piece of grass, a lion, a tiger, a dog, everything, a diamond. Everything is in a person. Therefore, since all animals are a part of us, every part of the Bria is part of us, when we do something evil, we affect all other Brias, because we are a part of them. We are a chelik of all other Brias. Therefore, when the Adam did a sin, all the animals did as well. But you cannot blame the animals for that. It was the chelik of Adam that was affecting them. And he says that is why that all the animals had to be destroyed as well. Because the animals who were linked to everybody, all the animals became corrupt, because the whole world became corrupt. There was only one person not corrupt. He was also linked to certain animals. The ones that Noach was attached to, those animals didn't do anything wrong. Those were the ones that were able to go into the Teva, because those ones didn't do Chet, because they were Adam's Chelik in this world. The lashon of Mesillas Yesharim is that when a person does a Chet, Kima Adam Nimshach Achara Olam, or Misrachim Yiboyrei, a person distanced himself from the Rabbani Shalom. Hine Hu Miskalkel, he becomes ruined, or mekalkel olam imoy. He ruins the world with him as well. The effect, we're talking about Hashpoah, there's such a thing as a long-term effect as well. They have a fascinating kasha, you could ask, and I'm sure this kasha has bothered you. Yonah comes to Nineveh, 120,000 people, all Rishoyim. Everyone there, Rosh and Marusha, and they all did tshuva, every one of them. How is it possible that they all did tshuva? Doesn't seem possible such a thing. When do you see a whole town of Yidden doing tshuva? And a whole town of Goyim should come and do tshuva like that? So you see the answer in this week's parasha. This week's parasha says, the Chush Yolad is Nimrod, who Hechaliyah's Gibor Ba'aretz, and Rashi says he was the first one to rebel against Rabbani Shleilam. Then the Pasuk says, a couple of Pasukim later, Parigud Pasuk Yud Aleph, Min Ha'aretz Ahi Yotza Ashur. Ashur left that land. Vayiven he built Es Nineveh. He built Nineveh, says Rashi, Min Ha'aretz. Kiven Shero'o Ashur Es Bonov. Since Ashur saw his children, Shoymin and Nimrod, when listening to Nimrod, or may read in B'mokim rebelling against Hashem, Livnoi Samigdol to build the tower, Yotzei Mitoch we left there. Nineveh was built by Melech Ashur. Why was it built? To get away from Rishus, to get away from Nimrod. The whole town began in order to stop rebellion against Hashem, for a good reason. When something begins correctly, That puts in its genetic makeup that goodness that later on can flower out. That was how it was possible for Nineveh Ur-Rishoyim to come back again. There's a pasuk that says, Toiv achris dover merishoy. The simple understanding would be, as they say in the secular world, all's well that ends well. Toiv achris dover, the end is better merishoy than the beginning. But that's not what the way the Rishalmi understands the pasuk. We don't have time to go through the Rishalmi now, Mr. Radinsky. Pshat is, Toiv achris dover, when is the end good? Merishoy, from the beginning, when something begins well, then in the end, it will work out as well. Something that begins, that will end up well. If it's very dangerous, because it's bad, in the end, it's going to, the end will just get worse and worse. It'll never work out in the end. Avram had a wife. What? So you'd expect to say Milcah. But all of a sudden here, it doesn't just say Milcah. Milcah, Basharon, Avi Milcah, Bavi Yiska. You get a whole shtickle Torah. By Avram's wife, it was good enough just to say sorry. And here it gives a whole list. What's the pshat in it? The pshat is, when it said Avram's wife, it didn't have to give explanations. Everybody knew who sorry was. Each is Avram, sorry. Sorry, at Tzadekes, sorry, Menu. You don't have to describe who she is. We know. But then it says, V'shem Eishes Nocher. Who was Nocher's wife? Milcah. Milcah? Who's that? So the pasuk tells you. Das Horon. Horon? Who's he? Ah, Avi Milcah Vavi Yiska. He's the father of sorry. So in order to understand who Milcah is, you have to go through all the others. Milcah, she's a daughter of Haran. Who's Haran? The father of Haran. But Avram's wife, sorry, she doesn't need any more explanation than that. Gentlemen.